You're listening to The Kelly Jo Show on Talk Jive Radio, a Dam and Den production distributed by the Institute for Native Arts and Media, a 501c3 nonprofit organization based in Norman, Oklahoma. The views and opinions expressed in the segment are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect those of the INAM organization. So let's take a break from talking about the election. I know what I'm going to do when I get finished with my segments is it's like a comfort. Like, I'm going all out comfort day, like comfort food, like, you know, lay around, watch TV, maybe watch The Godfather, like one of those lay around kind of days, like just blah, because that's how I feel. But let's talk about something else other than my sad bastard mood over the election. So this is on our social media pages, and it's from the Black Wall Street Times. And the headline is Brett Favre linked to more fraudulent schemes. We'll go right from election to talking about Brett Favre and his grift. So Brett Favre has been linked to another fraudulent scheme after two companies he financially backed exaggerated the known effectiveness of their drugs to raise money. Two concussion drug companies backed by Brett Favre overstated their NFL connections and exaggerated the known effectiveness of their drugs in order to raise money, according to ESPN. Favre has been under increased scrutiny after text messages revealed his knowledge of a $70 million welfare scandal in Mississippi. The state of Mississippi paid Favre $1.1 million in 2017 and 2018 to make motivational speeches out of federal welfare funds intended for needy families. In the text message, Favre expressed relief that then-Governor Phil Bryant was on board for the deal. And it goes on talking as his text messages there. Two Florida-based companies, Prevacus and PreSolMD, are alleged to have received more than $2.1 million in Mississippi funds that were earmarked for welfare families. The state of Mississippi filed a lawsuit against the two companies in an attempt to recoup the money. Favre has largely remained quiet since the allegations have come out and has yet to see any repercussions from the NFL. The backlash in the sports world facing Brett Favre has been noticeably different compared to the recent backlash of Kyrie Irving. Irving has come under scrutiny recently after posting the link to an anti-Semitic documentary on his social media. The NBA star refused to unequivocally disavow anti-Semitism when pressed by reporters in the public, and was then suspended by the Brooklyn Nets for a minimum of 5 games until he satisfies a list of objections set by the team. Many feel that the treatment between Favre and Irving has been unfairly different, as Irving is now set to lose millions of dollars during his suspension, and Favre stole millions of dollars from needy families. So, oh, Brett Favre. This picture of him, too, he's got the ruddy color of Howard Schnellenberger. Like, and the full Captain Kangaroo garb, too. Like, red as Captain Kangaroo's jacket. That's really unfortunate. That's really unfortunate for the people of Mississippi. That's who it's unfortunate for. And the difference in treatment is stark. I mean, we're not really hearing anything. And the only thing that I've really seen when all this started coming out, ESPN themselves and SportsCenter put out this little film that was all about Brett Favre's philanthropy. That did not age well. And now it's just more and more and more. So concussion drugs, right? These are companies that make pills to address concussion symptoms. So his colleagues all around him, as they're sacrificing their bodies for their sport and getting concussed on a fairly regular basis, they were, he was pushing drugs to them that he knew weren't as effective. Did he do that? Is that what that is? Like, so they exaggerated. They were backed by Brett Favre. So these companies exaggerated their known effectiveness in order to raise money. So did they take him for a ride, or did he know? And he's out there helping them raise money for you know, drugs that are being sold to his colleagues, like his close colleagues too. Like, these are the guys on his line. These are people that he played with. These are their kids. These are, you know, generations of these football players. And these football players, I mean, I'm sure at that point, Brett Favre had credibility. He was like, oh, Brett Favre is back in this. Well, then then as a football player, he must know something, right? Like, he must be able to trust them to handle his own concussion symptoms, right? Or, you know, maybe he's backing them to improve the quality of life for retired football players, or, you know, some kind of noble thing, noble goal. And instead, I don't know. Like, did they have like trials, like clinical trials? And like, did they, I'm curious, like, I want to know if they, like, they did clinical trials and found out that they weren't as effective and just peddled them like that anyway, or just went balls to balls, like, yeah, this is what these do, and then they don't even have any basis for that. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm curious. I'm very curious to know how does your grift work, Brett Favre? Please take me through the intricacies of the Mississippi welfare system. I mean, he doesn't know anything about the system. He just knows how to get the money from it. And I mean, it's just all so distasteful. And Brett Favre, I mean, like, I've never liked Brett Favre. I'm not a Green Bay Packers fan. I'm not a Southern Mississippi fan. So, I mean, I don't like him. I met him one time and he was a dick. So, I mean, that's like, and you know, when you meet somebody that you already kind of don't like, and you already kind of think that they're dickish or whatever, and then they end up proving you right, and then you walk away and you're like, yeah, I knew it. I knew that guy was going to be an a-hole to me. And he was. So, bye-bye. And that's the story that you get, right? Some people, like, have met him and, like, oh, yeah, he's good and he's funny and he's blah, blah, blah. I disagree. We can politely disagree on the likability of Brett Favre. I say he's not likable at all. And it was, and I had that opinion way before this. This just proves me right. Again, where Brett Favre is concerned. So, yeah, that's, it's got his text messages on there. And like, Nancy knew the lady that he was, Nancy knew. Yeah, she knew what was going on. And the attempt to, keep it hidden from the press. There's one thing about the press. They're gonna find out. Like, they're trained for it. They know, I mean, they've got people that do that. So, and I do agree, again, that this the backlash for Brett Favre and Kyrie Irving, the differences is stark. And hey, I'm all for Kyrie Irving. I'm all for his suspension. I'm all for that. Because again, what he's the propaganda that he's supporting is hate speech. And that's just something that just doesn't fly. It doesn't fly. And it doesn't fly when you're saying it. It doesn't fly when you're promoting it. And, you know, so he gets what he gets on that. And I think people wholly misunderstand that. And the people who take up for Kanye West and for this behavior of Kyrie Irving, like, yeah, that needs to be called out. But Brett Favre needs to be called out too, with equal derision and equal volume. Because it's not right. None of that's right. What Kanye West said was not right. Kyrie Irving, his behavior is not right. Brett Favre, he is not right either. And it needs to be called out and it needs to be addressed. And again, those are the consequences. And it's just it's a shame that we don't hold that accountable. And I think it very much continues to show the power dynamics in the media. Especially with, you know, with us being called indigenous creatures, right? Like, the media is still a very powerful thing. And it's still very, very much racist and misogynistic on a lot of levels. And it's just like we were talking about in the last segment, this acceptance of it and not calling it out and not, you know, feeling like you're in a safe space to call it out, that's just got to change. That's got to change. And again, that's one of the reasons I'm so proud of Talk Jive. And I'm so proud of the shows that are in development right now. And I'm so thankful for the folks that are coming on to help revive this. Because this is an important place for NNs to come. And for us to talk about these things. Because if we don't talk about them, nobody's going to give a shit about them. As Indians, we have to accept this responsibility for ourselves. And we have to make sure that our voices are being heard loud and clear. And I don't think that I think we're getting better at it. But I don't think that we're succeeding 100%. And I think that we need to do whatever we need to do to make sure that we are visible and that we are a force to be reckoned with. I mean, we're fucking Indians. We're Indians. We have survived attempted genocide, generations of trauma. We've had to adapt and assimilate so fast. And we have done it. And not only have we done it, but we're starting to take our place in all of these different areas. And that's a beautiful thing. And we need to continue that. And we want to do our part here at Talk Jive and the Institute for Native Arts and Media to start addressing these issues, especially issues that are wholly Indian, like tribal sovereignty and corporations posing as indigenous nations, CPAIN issues. So I hope that you join me in that endeavor, and we'll make a difference, and we'll make sure that everybody knows that the Indians are here and we're fucking restless. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Kelly Jo Show, a Damn Indian production distributed by the Institute for Native Arts and Media. The views and opinions expressed in this show are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect those of the INAM organization. For more information or to donate, email nativeartsandmediainstitute@gmail.com. You can always catch past episodes of all shows wherever you get your podcast. Thank you so much for your support.